There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. We are in beautiful Playa del Carmen with our good friend, Jaime Cruz, here and his family. It's been really nice this week just to kind of unplug, do a bit of nothing, and with the craziness of work and the world out there, it's kind of nice to unplug. And so we actually invited Jaime Cruz on the show today because we had some really good conversations this week. And so Jaime actually has a property tax protesting company, which we'll talk a little bit about, but also I want to talk about how he designed and structured his business to create the lifestyle he wanted and how he was able to take off a month, a year to just, you know, be with his girls and his family. And so anyway, so a little bit about Jaime. The first, we'll talk about his bio here. So Jaime Cruz serves as the lead property tax consultant and handles preparing and presenting at the property hearings for his clients at SaveOnHouseTaxes.com. He graduated from Texas A&M University with a Bachelor of Science in Economics. He holds a Senior Property Tax Consulting License, the highest license awarded by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation for property tax consultants. He brings to the table the experience of having presented over 26,000 hearings and over 21 years in the real estate industry, and the success record of obtaining over $9.75 million in property tax reductions. He has completed over 160 hours of appraisal coursework, 210 hours of real estate coursework, 30 hours of residential inspector coursework, and 60 hours of loan processing coursework. He attributes his success to his real estate-focused continuing education. Jaime Cruz is also a licensed real estate agent, a husband, a father, and has two beautiful girls. So, Jaime, I like to start off kind of every successful entrepreneur has a story, right? And so I always like to start off by having our guests tell a little bit about their story, what contributed to your success and your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. First, thank you. This is like the biggest honor I could have, be here with a beautiful beach behind us and Sean and Phil. You know, real estate is the only industry I've ever really worked in. And so I knew that that was the field I was going to be in. And so I just kept studying and studying until I found a little niche that I fit in. And that's what it's been. I first got into real estate in 1998. And ever since then, it's just been just studying and studying, learning the industry and figure out where I fit in. Property tax wasn't something that I grew up thinking I was going to end up doing, but it was a niche that I was good at. And so there was a need for it. And I think the dislike of taxes has helped me be good at it and helping clients lower their taxes as much as possible. But for the last 2000, this is actually our 10-year anniversary of having Save on House Taxes going full speed. And so it's rent. And like you said earlier, it's the continuing education, I think, is what's helped keep us in the industry going.
That's awesome. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, can you explain? Thanks for being here. And I think it's been a great week. And we appreciate you taking the time to be here.
No,
I know you're taking time away from the beach right now.
And your month off.
Time with your kids. But can you explain like what protesting for property tax value? Because I think just so people understand, because I don't know. And then explain, I know you're just focused in Texas or Houston or Dallas, or the two big markets, but explain the process. Explain why they should do it. And is it something that they should do in every state, or is it just case by case?
Yep. So we're located out of Texas, and Texas is definitely a no-brainer. If you have property in Texas, you need to be protesting your property taxes every year. Other states seem to have similar processes, but not nearly as aggressive. Some states have their reevaluation every couple of years, so it's important that maybe not as important as Texas. Some states do have the reevaluation every year, but their tax rate isn't as aggressive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's an offsetting thing there. But, so in Texas, you know, we don't have a of state income tax. So the shift has been put on the property taxes. And so the state invites you to be part of that process. What they do is they tax you on the valuation of the property that they put on. That you as a property owner have the right to challenge that assessment every year. So every year, the calendar year goes around April or so, they'll send out the notices and they'll tell you what they're going to assess you at. If you do nothing at all, that's what you're going to pay property tax. So that's where we come in. We automatically challenge it, whether it feels low or high or okay. We go ahead and challenge it. And sometimes, even if it feels like it's okay, we get down and digging in and there's actually some savings there that we can obtain. So once we file the protest, the deadline for Texas is May 15th. And again, that's different for different states. Then they schedule us a hearing. It's kind of like a little jury type situation. We come in and present our valuation opinion, and then the jury decides whether we're right, they're right, or somewhere between. Any reduction from the original value is going to result in tax savings. Since the tax rate is multiplied against your assessed value, that's when the savings come in. So the biggest reason, obviously, to protest is, especially if it's an investment property, you want these properties to cash flow as much as possible. Assessments, taxes being probably one of the highest costs that you have for holding a property in Texas. Any savings there, and it's a cumulative effect. You know, if you're saving anywhere $500, $1,500 a year on taxes, you know, over the course of 10 years, you're saving thousands of dollars.
Right.
I think so many people don't even realize, they just accept it.
I don't. A lot of them don't know, because I know when we started off with you 10 years ago. I mean, we really didn't have an idea of what you did, right? And now you've been protesting our taxes for this long, and really have saved us. And no, we didn't until we met Jaime. We didn't protest them, but I mean, the point is, like, it helps to preserve your return on investment, right? One question that I always get from my investors is, like, if they want to sell the property, they're like, well, wait, no, like, I don't want to do anything with my property taxes because I don't want to hurt the value, right? Tell us that.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's probably the biggest misconception that I get, and I think it's not thinking it all the way through, right? If you were to call your realtor and say, this is my property, I don't think you're expecting the realtor's due diligence to go to the county website and ask the value of the property, right? I think you're hoping that they run comps and see what the highest value is. And the biggest problem with that thought process is it's a little bit odd, but the tax value is always a year arrear. So right now, it's tax value is really based on last year's market, and your realtor should be running comps over the last 3 months or so to decide what the value is. So it's an outdated value, and at the end of the day, it has no effect on your resale value of the property. Your realtor's going to list it as aggressively as possible and get your highest return. So I think if we think that all the way through, it's not a reason not to protest with the property tax.
Right. Yeah, we just last week I had to go through this with our clients, you know, like going through their portfolio and like how much they've actually saved protesting their taxes throughout the last like 5 years, you know. And so it's definitely a benefit. We do it for our clients. And so if you're in the Texas market, I highly recommend you protesting your taxes to preserve that cash flow and your return.
What markets are you in Texas?
So we're serving all the major metros in the Texas area. There's some of the outlying counties are it's interesting because we all work under the same tax code, but every little county has a different way of operating. And sometimes it's tough to get to every one of the little rural counties. And sometimes we'll try to help clients find someone in that market, but sometimes we just don't have enough clients to serve somewhere out with a population of 200 folks. But most of the San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston seems to cover most areas, and we cover those. We can do it well for a lot.
So is this just a Texas thing, or in other markets and other states, do they have the same type of thing?
Yeah, there's agents in other states, and like I said, their process is just, I think it's not as aggressive as Texas, so it's important to do it, but I think Texas, being in Texas, it's really important to do it. And I think the closest is probably Florida to Texas. I think they have a similar structure to us. So, like I said, like California, I believe they have a different set of the valuation that they purchase. It seems to stick for longer than in Texas. But again, our revaluation is every year in Texas.
Yeah. I know you've been extremely successful for our clients. I think several years, you were like 99%. You got it. The clients reduced 99% of our clients, and I don't know if you're still averaging that great of a number. I haven't looked recently, but I know for years that's what you average. But the why should they hire a professional? Because I think that's another question. Is that you get all these people that like,
I can do it myself.
Well, you have the time.
Go to the hearings.
I've never been real aggressive about trying to sell someone that you can't do it, let me do it. Because it is something that everyone can do on their own. But obviously, the leverage of time is big. Like, I like barbecue, right? I make some good ribs. And I don't always want to spend 6 hours making my own ribs. So sometimes I'll drop into a barbecue spot. It's kind of the analogy. I'm not sure I would go down there if I just had one or two accounts and spend all day maybe waiting in the lobby and then not knowing, you know, whether the results are. And the other side of it is, you know, after 26,000 cases, we know the arguments that have high success rate. You know, you might feel real good about it. It's like, yeah, you're probably going to bat 10% of that argument. So, you know, you know what the flow, you know which ones are, what arguments are good. You know the technical problems with the evaluations because they're running a computer algorithm. So you see when the glitches are in their system and when they're going to make it to work in our favor. So I think time, expertise on the property tax code and the angles of the arguments, and then also the relations that we've built with the district. So after these years, we've had relations where sometimes we look at a file and they already know what I'm going to say, and so we end up at the same spot, you know, so we don't have this argument. I think there's a lot of benefits to having someone professionally do it, but by no means am I going to say, don't do it yourself. The one thing that I do see sometimes when folks do represent themselves is they'll go 1 year, have a good result, and then they take 3 years off, and then it's like, it was a wash, man. You need to fight every single year. So, like, just, if you're going to do it, do it every year. So,
yeah. It comes out of experience.
Right.
I think that's why we rely on you so much. Because it just comes out, even though we can run out of comps, but right. You know, like you said, that you know what they're looking for, you know, which is, you know, what arguments they're going to accept and which ones they're not.
Biggest takeaway I got from that is, you know, what's the value of your time, right? And it really in anything that you do, property management, same thing, you know, you can self-manage your property, but what's the value of your time and also the expertise? So let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about your time, because I know that you've done extremely well with, you know, you work hard during your season and then you take a month off. So talk about your vision for your life and how you kind of shuffle
that.
Here,
right?
It's amazing. So, I mean, watching podcasts like this and watching guys like you yourself has been in reality. I was doing everything. So at some point I had to figure out how do I make the jump to be entrepreneurish, and I had to figure out what it is that I do at the office that is not something that I can have someone else work on. There's not requiring the skill set of getting the reduction all the way down. And so the good thing about my work is that the hearing part of it is almost a seasonal gig. Property tax is a year round. There's always administrative stuff going on. But the part that I think I add the most value is the hearing. So we're managing the flow of the hearings. And so as long as I'm there on the hearing part of it, helping out where I can, then I can have the other stuff spread out among the office. And we're still in constant communication with the office, but as long as I feel like I'm there for the part of the season, it affords me time to come down here and spend a couple of months or a month at a time.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. We talk to this in private, like we give you a lot of credit and envy you in that way that you're able to do that. So I don't think whether we could do it, but it's like, do we choose to do it? And we've always struggled with that. I think you are very disciplined. I got a lot of respect for you because I think over time, like I think as we've watched people and see people, you know, as you get more successful, a lot of people usually increase their lifestyle,
or put more things on their plate,
toys, new homes, their cars, right. As they keep rising, pick up. I think you've done really well where you're like, well, I want a lifestyle. And so you choose, like, I want to take a month or 2 months off of the year, and I want to really spend more time with my family, my wife. And so rather than maybe the new car, so I think it's, where does that come from?
I would love to say that it was my idea. But no, I mean, I think we're all a product of, you know, our environment or the books you read or whatever, but I think probably originally the idea that came from was this book called Psychology of Money. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. I can't remember the name of the author, but it talked about life and finances as energy. Your money is your energy, right? Mm-hmm. And and had to sit down and think about what are the things that bring me the greatest happiness, right? Yeah. Like, drinking bubbly with my wife, riding my bike with my kids, reading to my kids, and none of that stuff costs money. Yeah. Really, none of that stuff costs money. So if I'm spending my money on things, if I'm spending my money on things that I'm trading time for that are taken away from these things, then I'm not controlling the flow of it. So I'm not one for a lot of the fancy jewelry and stuff like that. And for me, like waking up and playing with my kids is like the greatest wealth. Right? Like being able to take off on a bike ride with my kids when I want to. So if I can adjust the flow of finances, and it all came from that, but that's something that I came up with. That college of money was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, we still, Jordan and I, we stole everything from somebody else. Like, we never come up with that.
And you start forgetting how much yours are now, right? Like, I know I picked that up somewhere, right? Like,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's been awesome to see you be able to do that every year. And do you think at some point you'll be able to duplicate yourself in the like here at the hearings as well, so that you can truly get? So I would think that would be the next step.
Right. Yeah. I'm a work in progress, and I guess it's a little bit of arrogance that helped me get so good at property taxes, thinking that I was the best, right? And then you start trusting a little bit. Like we had a great addition to the team this year. And you know, there's times where I see the argument and I'm able to feel it. I'm like, see, that's me. I'm genius, right? And then sometimes she'll bring up an argument. I'm like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I give you credit. So she had the experience. Tahara, she's back at the office holding it down. She worked for the county for 10 years before she jumped over and helped out. So there's things that she knows on the back end that I didn't know before.
Right.
So it's helped me. And so I think that's the next progression is realizing and keeping a close eye on the results, because at the end of the day, it's a really results-oriented job. And you know, sometimes getting just a few $100 of savings, it's best case scenario. The client might not realize it, but we didn't deserve those couple $100 reductions, but we got it. So yeah, that was a win for us. And sometimes it's a huge reduction, but we didn't go deep enough. You know? So like, we have to keep an eye on what it's supposed to be and what we got. So if I can keep an eye on the help coming in, then maybe we can take that next level. So,
yeah.
If not, I'll just work on it.
So we have a lot of new like entrepreneurs or investors, and you yourself have been investing in real estate and have your own rental portfolio and growing that rental portfolio. At least 15,
yeah,
right?
2004 is when we picked up right before the crash.
As you can see, investing in real estate and passively investing in real estate, you still have your business. So, but I want to kind of get into, if you were a new investor or entrepreneur starting out, what advice would you give to those new investors or entrepreneurs starting out?
I don't know. Just don't overthink it. I think at the end of the day, it's don't overthink it. I feel like that's something I also have to keep an eye on as I get older. Like, I feel like I get more risk adverse the older I get. When I was young, I just buy property and I just knew. And I think real estate is like one of those friendly vehicles, investment vehicles, that even if you overbought at the time, like over the long run, it seems to be as though it's more generous.
Right.
I don't think I actually stole any of the properties that we bought, but on paper, it's like it was a genius move because they've all been paid down rental-wise and they've all appreciated slowly over the years.
So somewhere new, right?
Yeah.
New
build.
Second one was a new build. Did a couple of fix and flips and then a couple of fix and holds.
And now you're doing some new builds as well.
Yeah. So this is a new part of trying to grow it. And so we're starting to build a little bit and see how that goes.
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, what would you, being that you, now that you've been an entrepreneur for 11, 12 years, what would you say, what advice would you give somebody just wanting to start their own business?
So this
or
is one,
with you over?
This is one personal, I guess the one advice I'd give, and then I'll answer that one first. Is I realize that a lot of folks tie themselves up on their personal expenses, and so you don't have that freedom to roll the dice on anything else, right? Like,
yes,
maybe that shiny car in the driveway is what's keeping you from being able to have the flexibility of doing something else. So I just kind of learned early that I had to keep my personal expenses low and see if I can get the investments to grow. Whether growing the business off the ground or the investment in rental properties. And now we have the flexibility of doing a little bit more and spending a little bit more on extra things. But I think first you have to have your personal expenses.
Yeah.
And then I think about that second part of the question, what would you do different? You find yourself in a happy spot in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful wife, beautiful kids, life that you love. If you change anything, does it change anything? The outcome is a bit different. I guess the only thing would be buy more properties early on. I thought about more like in 2008 and buy or sell.
Yeah, we said that all the time. We can only buy more.
I'd be owning this house.
So I find my files and for property tax, it's interesting because I find my files. We keep paper files on all of our accounts. And I look at the notes from 2008. But you look at the value, it's like 5 times now what it was that year, like when it crashed, and so you just picked up more of that.
Those are great takeaways. So, keep it simple, don't overthink it, and don't over leverage yourself. We talk about that all the time as well. It's delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
Yeah. I love the something you mentioned for entrepreneurs. I think that's like Joni and I have the benefit of growing our business without kids, which is her and I. So, our expenses were low. We could take more risk. We lost it all. We start over really young. It'd be hard if for entrepreneurs, if you're just getting started, I think it's much easier when you're younger. You can keep your expenses extremely low, like you said, so you can invest back into your business. But also, if you're starting with a family and kids, we've always recommended that they have at least 6 months worth of savings that they can ride around. Is it most likely they're starting with kids and a house and cars and all that they're expensive to go buy? It's gonna be hard.
That's
I also think it's important. I know that Raina is their biggest supporter, and so I think having a spouse that gets you and understands you and you're aligned with your goals,
Absolutely.
Supports you.
And I have buddies, they have some great ideas, but if you don't have the support at home, then it's just the motivation. It's tough to follow through. But having a wife to support, the only problem is that I guess tell her all the time, it's like I get one good idea a day. The only problem is I got 9 bad ones.
Don't worry, there's always one in the relationship that's all the idea main. They're like, all right, the other one's trying to hold them back.
Need somebody to balance,
for sure.
She reads through some of those. No, we're not doing that.
Don't worry, I'm with you on that one.
I think that's what you see you guys do, and that's why we came out with you guys. There's that nice balance, chemistry. We see the relationship with you and your kids. It's hard to find that.
So you talk about some books that you've been reading.
That's the topic that I love talking about. What did you find? What did you read? Take away? And it's funny with books, right? You can read 300 pages and have one idea that comes out. There's a few that I like touching base on. I talked about the one that helped me financially, is the psychology of money. It's been a good one, finance. James Allen has an ethic. I don't know if you guys have come across that one. That one helps. Basically cultivating your life by what you think about, right? The analogy in that book is your mind is it's a garden, right? Don't let them bad thoughts plant, they end up on the wrong way.
Yeah.
Another one that's been really a good buddy, my CEO recommended this one, Die With Zero, has helped me. I guess now that I'm older, in my 40s, is looking at life in decades, not just one big path, there's decades.
Yeah.
Some things are better to do with this decade, and some things are better to do with this decade, and some things we just can't put off, right? Our kids are growing up so fast.
Yes.
And so we just have to make sure that we're not missing out on some of those moments, because it's not an option to you. Die With Zero is probably the most recent one that I would recommend to consume.
Anything you could share on your next decade?
So, how well I do in snow, but I'm gonna try it. I don't want to die and say I never went skiing, right? So this next decade, and I know these knees aren't gonna hold up too much longer, so I need to try it and see and just make the most out of it. Absolutely.
It's cold though.
I don't know how well I'll do, but we're gonna try that. I haven't exactly figured out everything I want to do, but I realized that having the option to do more things is probably what I need to work on, especially when I have the time available. Bucket list, hiking more, skiing more, and I think Joni said we're going to take a 100-mile bike ride.
Hey, I'm ready.
That was
your bright idea yesterday.
That was my bad idea yesterday. follow through. Yeah.
That's awesome. So any last minute words of wisdom for our listeners here today?
Stay balanced. I think that's, I used to have it on my desk, you know, like a little pyramid. It's like health, family, and career. And I think for me personally, I'm not telling everyone how else to live it. The money isn't important if you don't have your health. The money isn't important if you don't have your family. And the health doesn't matter so much if you don't have the money. So it's like you can't let one of the three get away too far ahead. I say try to keep balance in all three. And I think that's the key to living a fulfilled, happy life. Is something that is.
Awesome takeaways there. Yeah.
So how can, if people want to research about protesting their property taxes in Texas, how can they reach out to you?
Absolutely.
Or even if they just love your wisdom today, how can they follow you or reach out with you?
Yeah, so the easiest way professionally is through the website, saveonhousetaxes.com, saveonhousetaxes.com. So you know, it's easy to contact us through there, and our email, our contact, our mailing address, our physical address, drop on you, and anybody wants to reach out, our email again is on there.
So, are you on social?
On Facebook, not too active on it as much, but basically the website will probably be easier.
We appreciate being here, doing this for us. It was awesome.
Beautiful day. Thank you, everyone, for joining us inside the Wolf's Den from Playa del Carmen. Make sure if you like this episode, review it, like it, send us any comments, feedback, and
see you all next week.
Yeah. See you guys.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. Talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com. On Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den. On Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.